Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Good morning and welcome to another edition of Better Living, a show about people or organizations having a big impact here in North Texas. I'm your host, Chris Arnold of 105.3 The Fan, and joining us today is the CEO of the Oak Cliff Chamber of Commerce, Ms. Keandra Jones. How are you doing, Keandra?
I'm doing well, Chris. How are you?
I am great, and I'm so glad for you to join us because you guys have so many wonderful things going on. I mean, it's been going on for a while, but this spring is going to be special. For those who don't know, Oak Cliff, Destination Greatness, a place where communities and businesses thrive.
You know what, Chris, I love being here. Thank you so much again for having me. And yes, Oak Cliff Chamber of Commerce has got a lot of exciting things going on. First of all, I'd like to say that this is the oldest chamber of commerce in the Metroplex. And few people know that. We've been around for 104 years as of this year.
Wow.
Yeah. So out of more than 40 chambers, we're the oldest in the Metroplex. And so it is such an honor and a privilege to be able to lead this organization because we are so old, you know.
And well, put about seasoned. There you go.
Seasoned is a better word. Seasoned.
Yeah.
So I'm excited about even this year. But just some of the things we've got going on, you know, Chris, we are like other chambers in so many ways in that we've got mixers and minglers and, you know, educational experiences, but we're very, very different also because of our approach that we take to connecting people. Mm-hmm. So as you know, as one of my friends, I love holidays. I love to celebrate. And so every day is a holiday. And so I choose to theme our events around whatever the holiday is.
Okay.
And so, for instance, last week we had an after-hours networker that's called The Exchange. Mm-hmm. And the holiday for the day was Kahlua Day, National Kahlua Day. And so we played games in and around Kahlua. So when folks came in,
they were like Kahlua and cream?
Uh-huh. It's National Kahlua Day.
There you go.
And so folks came in and they got a bag. And in that brown paper bag were four like items. And so it could have either been Kahlua itself. It could have been marshmallows. It could have been four chocolates, or it could have been four graham crackers. And what they had to do is go around the room and make contact with folks that would help them build out their Kahlua cocktail. So at the end of the game, you had to have three folks' contact information along with a completed bag of a cocktail. And so what we do is we try to make it fun. So even the folks that are not that personality type that would ordinarily mix and mingle, we come up with creative ways to do that.
Oh, I love it. I love it. You got to have some you know, icebreakers for people who don't necessarily know each other, or a few people know each other and that group kind of sticks together and the other group kind of sticks together. It kind of makes everybody all involved. And then again, you get a lot of things done because socially you get to mix and mingle and get to know each other a little bit better than just at business events or at city council meetings.
That's right. That's exactly right.
I love this. I mean, the networking aspect of what chambers do is just remarkable. Again, there's always businesses moving into the area, individuals moving into the area. They're new. They don't know where to go. They don't know who to connect with. And therefore, your role is significant. You guys are connectors.
You know, I love that, Chris. I like to consider us the Southern Sector Connectors.
There you go.
And that's exactly what we enjoy doing and have enjoyed doing for more than 100 years. We have so many opportunities to make connections. We have before our events, those are called our coffee and commerce events. Mm-hmm. And after hours, which I just described, we have something that's called the exchange. And those do nothing more than connecting businesses to other businesses, like businesses in the area. We have over lunchtime, we have lunch and learns. And in fact, today we've got one lunch and learn event that features Rosa Fleming with the City of Dallas, who is coming to share with the community all of the convention center updates, because we know that that convention center here in Dallas will be expanding.
That's right. It's a $1 billion reconstruction, right?
Yeah, yeah. So she's sharing with us what's going on at City Hall, and we have those things monthly that talk about all things the city of Dallas, actually. And so that's an educational experience. We also have something that's unique, Chris, that's called the Business University. Mm-hmm. What that does is it allows businesses to be adopted by us, essentially, and with partners. So Hush Blackwell, which we know is a huge legal firm, and usually will have a banking partner like JP Morgan Chase, that they adopt these businesses and help them get better relationships with those organizations, as well as give them valuable information specific to their businesses to help stabilize and ultimately create businesses that will thrive even in this market. And so we have that experience. We also are unique in that we have a workforce development program. Mm-hmm. Where we take individuals that are 125% below the poverty level, and we give them career opportunities.
Oh, great.
A lot of stuff, Chris.
Fantastic. We're talking with Keandra Gully Jones. She is the CEO of the Oak Cliff Chamber of Commerce. And Keandra, I love the fact that Oak Cliff is always growing and evolving, but every time, and I used to live in Oak Cliff for years, 13 years, me and my wife and kids used to live in 13 years, and it's always growing and getting, I mean, I look up and there's apartments being built along the Trinity River, and I'm like, wow, look at this. And I'm looking over the Bishop Arts District, and I'm looking down Redbird, I'm looking over there by the zoo. Can you talk about the growth and how it seems like a lot of eyes are all on Oak Cliff now?
As they should be, Chris, because Oak Cliff is where it's happening in this city. And I will tell you, we have so much growth that's happening in this place right now that I hardly recognize it myself.
I mean, every month it looks different.
I love it.
That's called investment in the community.
Yeah. To look out my window and see cranes and to see movement, you know, we've got everything from the Southern Gateway project that's happening. You know, that's right down the street from the chamber here, where we've got this deck park that's coming mm-hmm. in, which is exciting.
Yeah, for those who don't know, that deck park is going to be similar to Clyde Warren Park. They're going to do the same thing over I-35 right there near the zoo.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And so we're looking forward to that. That economic engine is basically what it'll be in that area. But, you know, like you said, every time we go outside, we're seeing another apartment building that's coming up. I mean, and Bishop Arts doesn't even look the same at all.
Oh, man, it is growing. Are they building a parking garage over there somewhere near? I think I heard about that, or heard the rumor that they might be doing something like that because of all of the growth and the activity, and it's become its own entertainment center.
It has. And Chris, I've heard the rumors myself. I've not gotten that part confirmed. Now, I know there's lots of parking lots.
Right.
I don't know for sure about a garage, but parking has been an issue in the past, and they've been addressing that with different lots and shared spaces over there that allow folks to be able to park.
You know, I tell people they should be creative, because I have done this in the past. I was like way back in the day, actually about 5 or 6 years ago, before the pandemic. Anything that's before the pandemic, I call it back in the day. I took my kids. We would take that trolley from downtown and bring it right over to the Bishop Arch. People don't even know the trolley goes all the way. You know, the DART trolley, I don't know if they call it a trolley, but you know what I'm talking about, that little tram thing. It goes all the way over there to Bishop Arts.
You know, that is one of the most underutilized assets.
People don't even know. It's a great secret. It's a secret. But I love it, because I guess it's a fun way to do some things with your kids or just yourself. And like I said, if you're, you know, coming down to visit from, some of the suburbs, North Dallas, and he's like, I want to go over to the Bishop Arts. I've heard about Bishop Arts. It's in North Oak Cliff. And if you just park somewhere downtown, get on that, or even go to the train station, just get on the train right there. And that little DART train is really nice and quaint and comfortable and clean. I mean, and you don't have to worry about a parking lot.
Yeah. I mean, that's right. I was just meeting with the president of Visit Dallas just this morning at Davis Street Expresso, and we were talking about that very thing. That is one of our most underutilized assets. I mean, it connects downtown to Bishop Arts. And so we'd love to see more folks jump on that train and come on, you know, from Dallas and mm-hmm. come on over, or downtown Dallas rather, and come on over to the Bishop Arts District. So if you know folks that don't want to drive and park, that is a wonderful asset.
Yeah, park over there by Hyatt Regency Reunion Ball and over there by the train station right there, and then jump on the trolley. I mean, it's fantastic, especially if it's a beautiful day. We're talking to Keandra Jones, and Keandra, I got to ask you something else too. I bet you get all kinds of phone calls and emails from different corporations that are moving into Dallas, and they're asking people about Oak Cliff because some of their employees might want to live there, or they might want to set up shop there. Can you talk about some of the messages and the correspondence you've been getting from all over the country?
You know, Oak Cliff is such a hot spot now. And now, when I first got here in 2007 and I was working for the chamber, our phones were not ringing off the hooks like they do now, of course, but Oak Cliff is cool. It is so cool. And so there are folks that are trying to live over here. Now, I'll tell you, Chris, real estate is not cheap over here anymore.
I'm telling you, it's an amazing thing. It is an amazing thing. It's like you've got all of this beauty because of the cliffs and the topography. And then you got beautiful homes. And we're talking about homes that actually started there. We're talking about North Oak Cliff in particular, actually started there at the same time. The guy that designed Highland Park designed at Kessler Park. His name is George Kessler. I was like, wow. So you got some of those same type homes in North Oak Cliff, but the scenery is more dramatic and more exciting and overlooking golf courses and Trinity River. And I mean, this is it's just an amazing thing. So again, real estate is value. That's all I got to say.
And you know, one of the things that folks don't realize about Oak Cliff is that there is a direct parallel between Highland Park and specifically North Oak Cliff. Mm-hmm. Because those two developers were once friends, the one that founded both Highland Park and, of course, the North Oak Cliff area. And so there's so many similarities, especially when you start looking at the homes. Mm-hmm. These homes here, well, mansions, these beautiful homes, you will never find two that look the same. And because of the rolling hills that you've described, it makes it all the more beautiful to be here in Oak Cliff. And I think this area has been taken for granted for such a long time. And I think now all of a sudden there's been this huge spotlight, as there should be, that Oak Cliff is where folks should be. It's beautiful. You can work, live, play, and pray right here in Oak Cliff. And so we're happy to be a part of the Renaissance, if you would.
Can you talk a little bit about this program? You guys got several programs going on, but the one called Leadership Oak Cliff in particular, because I think that's a clever and very resourceful opportunity for a lot of people.
Yes. So Leadership Oak Cliff. What we started here at the Chamber is a program that allows us to showcase our Oak Cliff in our words through our lenses, because no one can speak to Oak Cliff about Oak Cliff like we can. And so there are so many other programs in and around town that are trying to spotlight the Southern sector, but they can't do it because they're not here. Mm-hmm. So we created a program for emerging leaders, those folks that want to do work here in Oak Cliff or that live here in Oak Cliff and need to be connected to the right individuals. And we take them through an 8-month program each day. And so it's one day per month, and each day has a different theme. So for instance, we have an upcoming media day. And what we do is we take our emerging leaders in and around town, or specifically Oak Cliff, and we talk to them and show them and take them on tours as to how the media portrays Oak Cliff. Is it a good thing? Is it a bad thing? Mm-hmm. How does that have impact on how our Oak Cliff is perceived? Last month, we had a Government, Justice, and Law Enforcement Day. And it's the same kind of thing. We took them to City Hall. They met with our elected officials. We went to the police department, and they did some reality-based training. And they learned the movers and shakers in those respective theme days that will shape their opinions of Oak Cliff.
That's right.
And because they're ambassadors for Oak Cliff, they will be able to speak intelligently about how amazing our Oak Cliff is. So we no longer want people that outside of Oak Cliff telling our story. We want to tell it accurately. And that's what Leadership Oak Cliff is doing.
I love that, because you know what they always say, perception is reality for a lot of people.
Yeah.
And you've got to make sure that they get the story right. So I'm glad we're having you on about this to let people know all of the wonderful things that are going on in Oak Cliff, and especially with the Oak Cliff Chamber. Could you talk about some of the things you have geared up for this spring coming up over the next few months in particular?
Yes. So, Chris, we're doing something so cool, and I'm excited about it. You know, in the past, we had the big festival, the Taste
right.
of Oak Cliff.
The Taste of Oak Cliff. I love that part.
Yes. And it was amazingly successful. However, there are things that we still cannot control, like the weather.
Oh, yeah. When you talk about April in Texas, anything can happen.
That's right. And so what we've done is we still wanted to be able to have a program that served the business community. So we are creating a small business mobile incubator that's called the Taste of Oak Cliff Food Truck.
Ooh, the food trucks. People love food trucks.
Yes. And so we'll be able to take that concept and take, you know, someone that may have an eatery concept, and they'll be able to test it on that food truck. And so we will have different spots, different eateries that will be able to, you know, rent it out.
You know what? This sounds brilliant. This is a pop-up food truck. I love it. Everybody loves the pop-up.
Absolutely. And so our businesses get to test it out, maybe before they go out and invest in a brick and mortar. They get mm-hmm. to test out their concepts on the food truck. And so that definitely can help the Oak Cliff economy by showcasing some up-and-coming eateries. And so hopefully we'll have that launching this spring, maybe early summer. And so that's one of the many things. Also, we're going to have a day in the park with the Dallas Zoo. So that should be happening the latter part of May. And so we're super excited to once again partner with the beautiful Dallas Zoo.
That is fantastic. Again, there's so many things going on at Oak Cliff. And I know you might have to run in just a little bit here, but I wanted to make sure you have a chance to expand about anything that's going on that you want to make sure that we know about. And again, all of the information is on the website. Where's the website again?
Yes, the website is oakcliffchamber.org. You can find information about everything we've got going on, specifically the Leadership Oak Cliff class. We are currently accepting applications for next year's cohort. And so I would love to get some other folks that go ahead and enroll for that. Space is limited, so I think those applications will be accepted for another month or so.
Are there some partnerships that you want to make sure that people know about? Because every year it seems like you get more and more corporate partnerships that help out with all the little things you guys do nonprofit wise?
Absolutely. So we are fortunate to have been partnered with the City of Dallas with our Oak Cliff Works program. It has been such an amazing partnership, mm-hmm. not only with them, but Dallas College, who has been our education partner mm-hmm. for our workforce development program. And I'd also like to highlight the business therapy firm, which is a fairly new partnership, but they've been able to help us with all things education as it comes to the development of our entrepreneurs and small businesses.
Fantastic. Again, Keiondra Jones, she is the CEO of the Oak Cliff Chamber of Commerce. We always enjoy having you on the show. I cannot let you leave without you saying once again what you love best about what you do, because we are so grateful that you are in the position that you're in. You've gotten so much stuff done.
Thank you, Chris. I just love being a part of this. Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity. As far as what I love, Chris, I am passionate about making positive changes. And I have to say positive first, because we can make changes and they're not always for the improvement of the community. But when we have an individual student or a business that comes in here and can utilize our help, we're able to help them and we're able to help them level up. I mean, it makes any kind of bad day worth it. And so I love that.
That'll work. Again, Keiondra Jones, the CEO of Oak Cliff Chamber. Thanks again for joining us. We got to have you back real soon.
Okay. Thank you, Chris. Have a great day.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
And joining us right now is the executive director of the Cowboys of Color Rodeo, Miss Liz Lawson. How you doing, Liz?
I'm doing great today, Chris. Thanks so much for having me.
Always good to have you on, because the Cowboys of Color Rodeo is a legendary rodeo, and the founder, the great Cleo Hearn, is a legendary Hall of Famer himself. There's so many things to talk about, and I want you to take your time, because there's stories to be told. First of all, let's talk about what you just got through doing. You were in Dallas at the Adele Turner Elementary School, and you and his son, Harlan Hearn, you guys were doing some things with the kids?
Yeah, we went out and talked to the kids, basically for Black History Month. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we're a little bit into March here, Women's History Month.
Yep.
But we had a great time. This is the Dallas Mavericks partner school that they support in the community. Y'all do so much in the community. We appreciate it. But we had about 25 kids, and they ask all kinds of questions. You know, sometimes they're kind of shy. Kids are, and they won't talk to you at first, especially when they don't know you.
But they open right on up.
Harold, they were 8 and 9, which is perfect, because that's when Cleo decided he wanted to be a cowboy.
Isn't that something? I mean, it's the story of Cleo, and we're going to get into his story in just a little bit here, because it's just a legendary story, and we've had you on the show before. It's been a while, but we always like to have you on, because when people think about Texas, they think about cowboys, and they think about rodeo, and Cleo lived all of that, and you yourself have been with the Cowboys of Colors how many years?
So I guess Cleo actually has been a cowboy for 70 years. He started in 1959. He got his card, professional card. He actually started a few years before that when he was 15, 16. But he's been producing rodeos for 50 years. So now we hope the boys, you know, he's retired, but the boys are taking over. And so hopefully the boys will carry on for the next 50 years.
I mentioned you in particular, how long you've been a part of the Cowboys of Colorado.
I've been doing since 1992. So I'm over 30 years.
Time just flies. And you mentioned the family. And again, Cleo's getting up there. And again, everybody loves Cleo. I hope he's doing, he's doing okay, right? He just can't get around as much as he used to.
Yeah, he's having some issues now, sure. But he's home and he's been cared for at home. He doesn't get out anymore. He basically is pretty much confined to the house, but he's got his second wife is lovely and her daughter. And, you know, we got home health care and the nurse checking on him. And they, you know, he's so much fun. He's always messing with the nurses. Yeah. And he's messing with, you know, all the home health care people.
He still has his personality.
So many visitors. People go see him all the time.
He has, the man is a legend. I'm glad he still has his personality and doing all these wonderful things. And like you said, his sons are carrying on the legacy as well as you are. Let's give a quick shout out to his grandson, the great Taylor Hearn, former Texas Rangers pitcher, who I think now this year he's pitching over in Japan. I think that's what I heard last.
Yeah, he got traded to Kansas City, which we hate because, you know, he wasn't here this past year for the World Series.
Just
but the good
missed
thing
it.
Is Kansas City won the Super Bowl and he was in the stands and they panned him in the crowd, you know.
Oh, okay.
Pitching for them, but he is over, you know, pitching in Japan right now. Harlan actually mentioned that yesterday to the kids, and because, you know, we asked them how many of them like to play baseball or football or basketball, and, you know, of course, because we were trying to then rodeo, and so Taylor's over there, but Harlan mentioned that he's looking at buying a property and some cows and stuff when he gets home, because, you know, in the off season he still ropes, you know.
Yeah, people don't realize, and you know, that I shouldn't say people don't realize, people who have interviewed him, and he's done a lot of interviews in his baseball career, they will ask him about rodeoing, and he can bull ride and all kinds of things, right? He can rope them
calves. Yeah, for sure. He, you know, he's taking it a little easy. He's more training other kids, you know, and training and doing that as a part of his baseball camp. They're doing rodeo camp in addition to, because, you know, he don't want to mess up his hands.
That's right.
Too much going with the baseball right now. But once he retires a few years from now, he'll hopefully go back and be able to rodeo some too, you know. And he just got married, so he's a newlywed, him and his sweetheart that he's had for a few years now. They got married just back this spring, you know, and so anyway, you know, he's got a lot of stuff going on, but baseball is his first love, and then rodeo probably is second love after the wife and the new wife.
Yeah, I tell you something, around here now, the Rangers won that World Series. People are all baseball giddy. And so you mentioned a former Ranger like Taylor Hearn. You never know. A lot of these Rangers, they come back again. You just never know that they come back again.
For sure. We hope that he gets, you know, recruit comes back around, gets back on the team. Because, you know, this is a home for him. When he was a little boy growing up, he went out to the games all the time. And he wore his Ranger jersey, you know, all around. And, you know, his favorite guys. So that was a thing, but you know, he's still young. So, you know, he's got some years left if he doesn't get hurt, if he can keep from, you know, having any kind of injury, but, so we'll see how it goes. But, we got great grandsons coming on now too. You know,
exactly.
Harlan's got two great grandsons, and
wow.
One of them's bull riding, the other one's saddle bronc riding. And so, we'll see what the next generation's come up with. And Rachel, his granddaughter, is going to start barrel racing again now. She took a couple of years off and had a few two little baby girls. They're about, I guess, 8 months and two or three now. So, but she's going to start back this summer competing again and barrel racing. So, you know, lots of legacy here. And the four boys, Wendell's the only one that still ropes. Harlan, Eldon, Robbie, and Wendell. And Robbie is Taylor's dad. So Robbie's the second youngest son, and Taylor is his son. So, you know, lots of
this is a rodeo family
going on.
It's a legacy. It's an amazing thing. Can you talk a little bit about how Cleo created the Cowboys of Color Cowboys of Color Rodeo and why he did it? I think it's an interesting story.
Yeah, well, it is. You know, initially it was called the Texas Black Rodeo, Invitational Rodeo, because in the early days, in the 60s and 70s, it was harder for African-Americans and Black folks, rodeo guy, cowboys, to compete, because some of the rodeos, they wouldn't let them compete, like Cleo especially. Rufus Green Sr., Murder Stipman, some of these great names, they weren't able to ride during the regular rodeos because of their color of their skin.
Yeah, it's almost like the Negro Leagues. And then, Cleo and Fred Whitfield and those guys, they were like the Jackie Robinson of their day in rodeo.
Right. You're exactly right. And so that's what they did. Cleo and five or six other guys, Bud Bramwell, who's a calf rover out of Oklahoma City, that he grew up and went to high school with Cleo. They created this Texas Black Rodeo Association for Black Cowboys, and they had that. And actually the first rodeos that Cleo did, he was a calf roper. Mm-hmm. That's all he wanted to do. He won the National Western in Denver, the National Calf Roping, Tie Down Calf Roping Championship in 1970. And he was the first African-American to win a national championship. And of course, some people saw him at the rodeo there and saw that he was the winner. And they asked him to come to New York and talk about putting on a rodeo. And he said, you know, I'm not a rodeo producer. And they said, well, if it helped one kid, would you do it? And he was like, whoa, you know, and
next
he came
thing
back
you know.
On the plane. He thought about it the whole way. He got here and he said, guys, we got to take some cowboys to New York and put on a rodeo. And that was in 1972.
And he took off from there. This is an amazing story. And the Cowboys of Color Rodeo, it's got all kinds of cowboys of all colors, not just African-Americans. You got Native Americans as well, right?
Right, Native people? American, European, Hispanic, because a lot of our bull riders now come from Mexico and South America, and we even have Australian, you know, had some guys from Australia come over and ride with us.
Look at it.
You know, so it is, but we changed the name in 2000. I mean, Cleo is, his dad was Seminole Indian and his mother was African American. So he's a mixed culture like most of us. Most of us are a mixed culture.
Oh, yeah. Me too. I got Creek Indian in my family. Yep.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I'm Irish and English. I mean, Irish and Swedish on my mom's side, and I'm English and Indian on my dad's side. And so, you know, but Cleo, he had both these cultures, and he was beginning to lecture and speak, you know, about Black cowboys. And he saw that Native American stories and women's stories and Hispanic stories weren't being told either. And so that's when he changed the name to Cowboys of Colors, because for him, that's all colors. And animals don't care what color you are. You know, bulls and horses, they just want to get you off their back. You know, they just want to stomp on you or run over you or run off. You know?
Exactly. It's about the talent. You know, it's not about what color you are. It's the talent. And that's also so entertaining, which is why so many families come to the Cowboys of Color Rodeo, because it's like it's family entertainment, right?
That's it for sure. And it, you know, and today it's about great athletes, obviously athletes that love horses or that love outdoor life or love that Western lifestyle. Cause like Cleo, he didn't grow up on a ranch. You know, he grew up with a single parent. His father left the family and he had two brothers and his mother raised them and about education. And for her, it was all about education, go to school, go to college, get a good degree, get a good job, take care of yourself and your family. And, you know, and this rodeo kind of came out of nowhere, you know, for, you know, because nobody in his family did that. And most of our guys today that rope, they do other jobs during the week. You know, they're doctors or dentists or they're on the SWAT team for the Dallas police. And, you know, they rodeo on the weekend because they love the lifestyle. They love that image of the cowboy, which is honest, you know, hardworking. Your word is your bond, you know, and that's what it's all about. And it is about family. And that's why people come back. And Chris, really the most, you know, really compelling thing is we've had people tell us, I've talked to my kids for the first time in years. So, you know, besides just yes, no, yeah, okay.
That's the way they talk nowadays. It's amazing. Seriously.
Yeah. And so they went to the rodeo, but they were able to say, what was your favorite event? And they were like, oh, I love the bull riding. I love those guys. I mean, how did they stay on a bull 8 seconds? You know, they got to be really strong. They got to be, you know, and they had this whole conversation that they'd never had before with their kids, because they came to the rodeo. So that's the most heartwarming thing for us, yeah, is that it gives parents and grandparents and children something new, something to talk about. And so that's why we're keeping it going, you know. And like you say, we got the next generation coming on, and you know, Harlan and Eldon and Robbie and Wendell, they grew up rodeo, and they were all professional cowboys themselves. They all went to school on rodeo scholarships.
Liz, did you just say rodeo scholarships?
Yeah, for sure. So Cleo was the first African-American to go to school on a rodeo scholarship, and all four of the boys, Harlan, Eldon, Robbie, and Wendell, went to school on rodeo scholarships. They did high school rodeo, college rodeo, and then professional, and rode professional, and they traveled with their dad, their mom and dad, all across the country when they were younger, going to different rodeos. And Cheyenne, Wyoming, especially, I think, was one of their favorite trips they always had every year.
Mm-hmm.
But then they graduated and they got jobs, and then now they have families, and now they got kids and grandkids and great grandkids, you know, coming on. So, you know, it's a great legacy. And rodeos, they would tell you, kept them out of trouble.
Yeah, I can
imagine. They got up every morning and went and fed the horses and watered the horses and groomed the horses. And then they went to school.
Had to do the chores first.
Then they came home and did the same thing.
Yeah, exactly. There's only so much time and you can get in trouble, so to speak. Trouble can't find you if you're out there doing what you need to be doing. We're talking to Liz Lawler. She is the CEO of the Cowboys of Color Rodeo. I remember not too long ago, I was talking to you and there was talk of a documentary about Cleo. Did anything ever come with that?
Well, we have pieces of it. We have a documentary that we had, that first film that they actually did film the rodeo in New York, and you can find pieces of it.
Mm-hmm.
We look, you know, sadly, we didn't realize that film would deteriorate so, you know, so quickly. And so back then they didn't have the same ways to you know, keep things like they do today.
Right.
Things.
The storage.
But we do have a documentary called Cowboys of Color, A Multicultural Legacy, which Corey Poitier did. He was a film student over here at KD Studios in Dallas, going to film school, and that was his last project. And so that film is available on Amazon. You can actually download it and watch it. It's about 30, 35 minutes, and it has interviews not only with Cleo, but with other cowboys, you know, some of our cowboys from Houston and Oklahoma City and different places. And it talks about the history of, you know, of rodeo and black cowboys and cowboys of color. And so that's available. And then we have a short, you know, we've been very lucky, Chris, that the media has really loved us and the story and loved Cleo just like all of us do. And so, you know, we've had coverage by the BBC, we've had CNN, big story, we've been on the nightly news with Dan Rather, and, you know, so we've gotten lots of good coverage over the years. Y'all always were great to have us on the radio stations, on all your different places and platforms, and local ABC, CBS, NBC, and Fox News. You know, we did stories all over Texas and Oklahoma with media. And so, you know, that a lot of those stories and things are available. If you just Google Cleo Hearn, you know, a lot of those interviews and those stories come up, you know, on your internet. The internet's a wonderful thing.
It sure is. I always tell people Google can be your best friend. Just Google it up. It's an amazing thing. Liz, you know what's so crazy? I've been knowing Cleo a long, long time because my mom, Anita Arnold, went to high school with Cleo in Oklahoma City, Douglas High School. And when I first started working in Dallas covering sports, she said, you've got to meet my friend Cleo Hearn. I said, yeah. Where am I going to meet him? She said, he's at the Cowboy games all the time. And then lo and behold, I met him at the Cowboys game. Liz, tell everybody what he was also doing with the Dallas Cowboys. You had a real legendary rodeo cowboy doing stuff at Cowboys game with Ford, I believe it was.
Yeah. And so, you know, when Cleo when he was at Madison Square Garden roping, Ford Motor Company or Ford Tractor actually saw him and ask him to come and test for a commercial, because they were looking for a black cowboy or black guy to to drive a tractor in one of their tractor commercials. And so Cleo went and did the job, and there was a guy kind of standing over in the corner, and he, you know, he kept watching everything, never really said anything, but after everything was kind of over, he came over and he said, well, you know, thanks for doing this. And, well, what do you do besides rodeo? And Cleo said, well, I just graduated from Langston University with a business degree. And this guy said, oh, really? What did you do before that? And he said, well, I was in the Presidential Honor Guard with President Kennedy. I was one of the first 8 African-Americans under President Kennedy. And the guy said, oh, really? He said, well, how would you like to join our management program? This was a guy who'd been a general or a corporal or captain or something in the service. He'd been in the military himself. And now he was head of, you know, the new manager trainee program for Ford Motor Company. So Cleo went to work for Ford. He worked for them for over 33 years. His whole career was with Ford. He rodeoed on the weekend. He worked for Ford during the week. But the other thing he did was he picked up the referees for the Dallas Cowboy game. So anytime there was a home game, he would go to the airport, pick up the referees, take them to the hotel, and then bring them to the game. And so if you watched any of the Cowboy games in the, I guess, what, 70s, 80s, 90s?
Yeah, there Coach was
a guy
Landry.
Standing down there with a cowboy hat on. That was Cleo.
Yeah, he was always down there. I mean, you had Crazy Ray, who was the Cowboys' unofficial mascot. He was on one side. But then there's Cleo, who was like tall, lean cowboy with cowboy hat on, and he was always there with the players, and all the players knew him. I mean, Coach Landry and Jimmy Johnson, they all knew who he was because he was there all the time, and he would, like you said, escort the referees off the field with all the security and whatnot, and I guess they'd jump in his car, huh?
Yeah, and so he'd take them back and forth, and he actually did that for years. He did it up until, I guess, probably about 10 years ago, and they, you know, I guess the crowds got kind of rowdy, and they started throwing food and bottles and stuff, and they wanted Cleo to carry a weapon. And he said, you know, I'm 75 years old. I've never carried a weapon in my life, and I'm not starting now. So he basically retired from taking the referees. But he
went from Texas Stadium to AT&T Stadium.
Yeah, yeah. So started out at Texas Stadium and then moved, you know, to the newer place. And I guess you were on the field too, weren't you, Curtis?
Oh, yeah. That's where I'd run. That's the first time I ran into him. I'd get down there in the fourth quarter, and then I'd see him down there in the locker room area. And again, everybody just loved Cleo because he's a real-life cowboy, Texas cowboy, and grew up in Oklahoma. But, Cowboys Color Rodeo, and always had that infectious smile, and he always talked about all kinds of things that people love to talk about. Again, you had the Dallas Cowboys, and he had a real-life cowboy right there.
Yeah, you know, and even with Ford, you know, even when right before he retired, he was still the top sales guy or his own manager. You know, he had South Texas. He had started in Oklahoma and was there a few years, and then moved to Texas with the family. I think the boys were little, you know, elementary school. Harlan maybe had been in the fifth or sixth grade, but you know, Cleo wrote it into, it's the only person I know ever worked for an automotive company, wrote it into his contract that he could stay in Texas and Oklahoma because he knew that he could get to a rodeo within 3 or 4 hours.
That's right. That's right.
On the weekend. And so first he was in Oklahoma territory, and then he had West Texas, and then he had Northeast Texas, and then he finished up with South Texas. So, you know, he'd go out on Monday and he'd go see car dealerships. And amazingly enough, Chris, this is really funny. I got to tell you this one story real quick.
Sure.
At the Fort Worth Rodeo last year, we have a new partner, which is called the New Blue Collar. It's an African-American fashion group, two guys partnership. And they came to the rodeo in Fort Worth, and he brought his father-in-law. And his father-in-law said, you know, I worked at a dealership down in Waxahachie, and there was this black guy that came in, this black cowboy that came in all the time and talked to the dealers. And he would go out on the floor and he'd talk to all of us. He wasn't like most of the guys that came in. They'd go in the manager's office and sit and talk, and then they'd leave. But this guy was always out on the floor meeting us and shaking hands and talking to people and telling stories. And I held up my phone with a picture of Cleo. I said, is this him? And he said, oh, my gosh, that's him.
Yes.
So our fashion designers who did the T-shirts for us that say, God sent me here to be a cowboy with Cleo's picture on the front. was actually at a Ford dealership and met Leo years ago, but didn't know who he was. He just knew there was this guy that dressed like a cowboy that came in to sell him cars.
Well, speaking of Waxahachie, I got to bring this up. Me and my family, we live down in Waxahachie now. We moved down there back in April. But the other day, I guess it was last month, end of the month of February, Lancaster, which is where Cleo lives, they pronounced what day of it? It was Cleo Hearn Day in Lancaster. Yeah. And I had a chance to come by and meet up with everybody. Could you talk about Cleo Hearn Day and how they, was that a big surprise that that was something in the works?
Well, there's something actually that the city of Lancaster did last year, but usually what happens, Chris, you know, they do a proclamation for somebody. Mm-hmm. And so last year on February 28th, they announced that as Cleo Hearn Day. And we went to the city council chambers and took pictures with the mayor and all the city council and the family and everybody with the proclamation. But usually nothing else happens after that. And we said, you know, we want to show our appreciation. We need to be out more in the community and doing things. And we want to show our appreciation for the mayor and the city council. And so we had a reception there the other night down in Lancaster, in downtown historic Lancaster. And one of the buildings they've just kind of remodeled, a young lady that's wanting to help bring that downtown area back. And she grew up in Lancaster following Cleo's story, loved his story. And so we had a great event there, and we kicked off the Cleo Hearn Scholarship Fund. We never have had really a scholarship fund for Cleo. He never really wanted us to do anything with his name on it. You know, he always wanted to promote all the other guys that came before him, like the Mertis Diamonds and the Jesse Stahls and Bill Pickett and all those guys. And so we did that, and we're very pleased. We had a great night. We had a great crowd. You came out and presented the check for us, which we appreciate. And we kicked off Cleo's scholarship with $2,500. And
very nice.
If somebody wants to donate, they can send us a message at cowboysofcolorrodeo.com. They can go there and sign up, and then they can send us an email or contact us at, and we'll accept any donation.
you know what? I've been meaning, speaking of Cowboys of Color Rodeo and Cleo and the donations and the website, I mean, you handle up things so very, very well, and you've been doing it for years. Something I've always wondered about, when the Cowboys of Color Rodeo, any rodeo, when they go from town to town, how do they get all the animals loaded up?
Basically, I'm stock contractors. Yeah, there are stock contractors, and most contractors specialize. Some contractors have bulls, some contractors have horses, some contractors have cattle or steers or calves, and they look like baby calves when you're sitting up in the stands. But when you get down next to them, you know, that's a 400 or 500 pound calf. Woo! That ain't even though they look like babies, they're really not.
Yeah. But, and then they grow up to be about 1,000 pounds or something.
Right. Exactly. And those bulls are a ton or more. Yeah. Some of those wild horses, but they take animals that like to buck anyway, that are already out in the pasture bucking, or they're bucking when they're calves or when they're smaller animals, when they're baby horses. And, you know, they put them in the rodeo, and then they do breed them now just for that specifically. But this is an investment. You're not going to mistreat an investment,
right?
You know, and over the years we've had the animal rights people get, you know, always want to get on us and stuff. But the fact of the matter is, if you've got a $50,000 horse or a $100,000 bull, or you've got $10,000 and, you know, 10 or 15 or 20 calves, you're not going to mistreat that investment.
No, not at all.
Take care of that investment. And you get fined in the PRCA and at Cowboys of Color. The reason it's an invitational rodeo is because you do something stupid, you don't get to come back. You know, if you mistreat an animal, or you get in a fight with somebody or anything like that, we can say, you know, sorry, you just won't get invited back next year, because we run a professional rodeo, and we're training this next generation of kids and cowboys and cowgirls how to act, how to dress, what to say if somebody puts a microphone in their face, so that they know how to behave when they get to the professional level and they can go on to the next level. And you mentioned Fred Whitfield. Well, Fred Whitfield came up in our Cowboys of Color rodeo system.
Look out.
He came to our rodeos before he was famous and won 8 or 10 times, you know, the championship. Mertis Dykman's out of Crockett, Texas. His son Murtis Dyckman Jr. He came in and participated in our rodeos over the years. Bud Ford, who's a great calf roper out of Fort Worth and Mansfield, you know, he's roped with us all these years. So, you know, now these guys have retired or they have families and they have jobs and they can't be on the road all the time, but they can still come to our rodeo and participate and teach the younger guys, you know, how to act and what to do and how to say and, you know, how to behave, basically. Mm-hmm. So it's a training ground. We're like the B team. We're like the farm league or what was
yeah, that's what exactly. They call it, baseball. Yeah, exactly. A farm system. Yeah, down there, the class 3A, class 2A. I love the analogy.
So it is. And, you know, and so Cleo has helped kids go on, or he's paid the entry fee for kid cowboys and cowgirls that he thought were special and had talent and skill. And maybe they didn't have the financial resources to go on. And I'm sure there's a lot more that I know about. But we wanted to do this scholarship so that we could, you know, basically we'll start with two, a boy and a girl, hopefully, and then we'll grow that to four or six or eight or 10 kids, you know, over the years. So they can either go to school, they can go to college and pay some of their tuition. They maybe can go to trade school and do some, you know, because a lot of our kids want to be like a vet tech or a veterinarian or mm-hmm. something like that, you know. Maybe they want to go all the way, but they just want to be around the animals, or they want to work on a ranch or for the park system or something. And so they can do that if they want to go professional. Maybe they can pay their professional entry fees, because that's not inexpensive either. And we've talked a little bit, I think, over the years about it's not an inexpensive sport. You know, you got a that's horse, right. A trailer, a truck, especially unless you're bull riding or bareback riding, you can just show up. You know, with your mm-hmm. rigging, with your ropes and your chaps and your vest and helmet and stuff. But if you're calf roping or steer wrestling or barrel racing, you got to have a horse that knows what to do. And those horses cost $30,000 to $100,000, $200,000, not $5,000.
Exactly. Hey,
these
Liz,
are not pleasure riding horses. These exactly. are not horses you just ride on the trail.
That's these right. These are trained animals. Professional animals. Hey, I got a question for you. You mentioned cowgirls. It seems uh-huh. like I recall, and I love the fact that you guys give everybody an opportunity, and like even girls. Annie Oakley, wasn't she one of the greatest cowgirls of all time, and she could really shoot too?
She was a shooter, yeah. Actually, she was a riflewoman, or if you want a sniper, basically, if you want to consider it that. But yeah, because they used to in the Old West, you know, in the 1800s, they had these. That's what they had. They had these shooting contests to mm-hmm. see, because, you know, the Remington rifles had come out and the Colt, you know, Colt guns had come out. The six shooters had come out. And so they had the shooting contest and Annie Oakley was one of the women that could shoot a rifle, you know, straight and true and, mm-hmm. you know, all of that. And,
you know, Liz, you're a historian too. I mean, telling you.
That's kind of how I started. I started out as the publicist for Cowboys of Color Rodeo, setting mm-hmm. up interviews and things like that. And I kind of became Cleo's, you know, unofficial assistant for right. lack of a better term. And then I became the historian. And because we said, you know, about, I guess in 2009, my mother died in 2009, and Cleo and his wife, then Berna, the boy's mother, they came out to the house and to see how I was doing. And Cleo said, you know, Liz, you know, if you could do anything you wanted to do, what would you want to do? And I said, well, Cleo, I'd really like us to tell these stories about these people that lived in the 1800s. We're losing these people. They're in their 90s and their hundreds, and they actually grew up and lived on ranches. They made their own toys. They made their own medicine. They took care of everything there because they couldn't run to town. You know, town might be 100 miles away. Mm-hmm. They had a horse or a wagon or a mule, or they could walk to get there. They didn't have a Walgreens on the corner or a Walmart or anything like that. And so he said, okay, let's do it. So we printed our first round of books, you know, our African-American Western legends, Yesterday and Today, and African-Americans from 1792, I guess, was the earliest. And James Beckworth was a trapper to 2009. And so we told these 31 stories of people who lived these extraordinary lives because of their choices. You know, they chose to go west. They chose to sign up as a Buffalo soldier, to sign up for the military. They chose to get on a horse or a wagon and travel into unknown territory mm-hmm. to live a different life, to create a better life for themselves and their families. And so, you know, those stories need to be told. And so we're still doing that today. And that's why I'm still here 30 years later, because, you know, I love the stories.
It's absolutely amazing. And you tell such great stories. I mean, everything you're saying is just riveting. I love the way you're talking. I love what it's all about. And I know that's one of the reasons why you guys always go to different schools and the different libraries, and you talk to kids about cowboys and rodeos, right?
Yeah, because, you know, we want kids to see somebody that looks like them. You know, yeah. Obviously, I'm white. I look white because I have my mother, Irish and Swedish skin tone, even though I have brown and brown eyes and brown hair like my daddy. Mm-hmm. My daddy had black hair because he was Indian and English. And but yeah, it's, you know, when we can take black cowboys and buffalo soldiers and Spanish cowboys and escaramuzas or charros. A charro is a cowboy in Spanish. Escaramuza is a ladies side saddle team, and they dress in the beautiful costumes with the big hats and big flowing skirts. And then we have a drill team, a Circle L5 drill team. It's a black drill team, horse drill team out of Fort Worth. And they have their flags, and they're a flag corps, and they ride horses and intricately in and out and circle around and figure eights and all of that kind of stuff in the arena. And so, you know, you don't just have to be a cowboy, you know, you don't have to just be a bull rider or calf roper. You could participate in one of these teams. We have Pony Express Relay Team, which is basically a 5-man team that races 2 teams against each other. It's like track and, you know, on horseback.
Have a baton. I love it.
In a circle.
It's like the Texas relays, but it's horses. That's crazy. I love that. I love that. Hey, Liz, I got to ask you something else here. Now, I'm not. Uh-huh. I don't want you to tell me what's the best rodeo, you know, facility. I just want me to. You tell me what was your favorite. It might be sentimental or whatever. I don't know if you're going to say the Stockyards in Fort Worth. I don't know if you're going to say somewhere else in Texas or even up there in New York or any other location. But for sentimental reasons, which location has been your favorite with the Cowboys of Color when they hit town?
Well, I think probably my favorite is Mesquite, you know, Mesquite Arena, the right Mesquite Championship mm-hmm. Rodeo Arena out here just 15 minutes east of Dallas, because it was built for rodeo. It was specifically built for rodeo. A lot of the other facilities are coliseums, and they have multiple activities in those coliseums. They do have horse shows, but they also have rodeo, you know, concerts.
Sure.
And other events, and they have trucks, and they have, you know, soccer, and they have indoor arena football or whatever. And so Mesquite is basically just for rodeo. It's got, you know, places behind the chutes where you can actually go up and stand behind the chutes and see the action up close and personal. It has a third floor with suites. So if you want to have a party or you want to invite your friends or have an anniversary or a birthday or something, or invite 10 of your best friends to come out with you and celebrate, and they have the barbecue there, they have the food and drink, and it's, you know, everything
is made for rodeo. It's just made
for
rodeo.
Yeah, it's made for rodeo. It's only got about 7,500 seats, 7,200 seats, but everything is closed. You're like right on the action. If you're sitting in a box seat, you're going to get the dirt kicked in your face, maybe, you know?
Yeah, and people will be glad for that. It's kind of like being at a boxing match and some sweat drips off on you.
Right, for sure. So that's probably my favorite. You know, obviously, Oklahoma City has 10,000 seats. San Antonio had 10, you know, would have about 10,000 seats. But down there, we'd have to bring in dirt, you know, because like you say, they played basketball during the week mm-hmm. with the Suns, I guess, and with the San Antonio team. And then later on in off season, you know, they'd have the rodeo. So, you know, there's just a lot of extra stuff we have to do at different places. Obviously, Fort Worth, the old Coliseum over there, mm-hmm. Will Rogers Coliseum.
Yep.
Was TCU. Great, but it was really steep too. You know, I really worried about being climbing up those stairs to the top because there weren't any railings or anything. But the same thing, you know, over there, they wanted them to make the chutes bigger or something. And they said, we can't make these chutes bigger. We got people that have owned these box seats for over 100 years. We've had people that fight over in a divorce to who got the box seats, you know, for the Stockyard tickets, you know, their annual tickets and stuff. So they said, we don't need you. You know, Fort Worth's been doing since, the late 1800s, I think. They're 120 years, over 120 years. Longest indoor rodeo that's mm-hmm. been going on. And So they can pretty much do what they want to. And they said, you know, we'll pay enough money. The Cowboys will come no matter what.
You know, that's a crazy story. You've got so many great stories. And I know
And now we got Dickie's Arena with 17,000
seats. Oh, yeah, it's beautiful.
But, you know, that was like three times more. And I said, how in the world are we ever going to sell 17,000 tickets? And we're sold out. Every last 2 years, we've been sold out.
That is amazing. You know what? And you're always, like I said, making different stops. Before we let you get out of here, what's the next stop on the schedule, or what's the next thing you can tell people to look forward to seeing the Cowboys of Color Rodeo around here, North Texas?
Well, there's a couple things. For the rodeos, we'll actually be in Oklahoma City on May the, what is that going to be? That's going to be May.
It'll be in
4th.
May. Mm-hmm, May 4th.
Leo's birthday is the 3rd. And May, the first Saturday in May, we've always done the rodeo in Oklahoma City. So we'll be up there on Oklahoma City on May the 4th. Dallas, July 27th. That'll be the last Saturday of July. The African American Museum, Texas Black Rodeo, which we actually started in 1985. So that's been the longest continual annual rodeo that we've had every year.
Look out.
We've been at, like I say, Oklahoma City about 15 years. We've been at Fort Worth for 12 years. You know, so we've added those other rodeos as we grew the rodeo system. And then we'll be at the State Fair of Texas in October on the 13th. That's going to actually be a Sunday at 2:00 because that's going to be OU weekend. I guess they have a new schedule. We're in a new new division now or something.
Yeah,
they
SEC.
Around some of the teams.
The SEC new conference. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's actually going to move the Texas OU game to that weekend of the 12th and 11th, 12th, and 13th. And so the game will be on Saturday, and then the rodeo will be on Sunday. So if you've got a ticket to the state fair, you can get into the rodeo for free. So that's the rodeo system, and we hope you'll come out. Tickets are available. You can go to fairpark.com, or you can go to the Coliseum up in Oklahoma, or you can go to our website. We have the links there at cowboysofcolorrodeo.com events. You can look under the event schedule and find the links to buy tickets. And then on our educational side, as you mentioned, Chris, we talk to schools, we talk to corporations. We did a great program for Redfin, which is a real estate company, and talked to about 50 realtors. And you know, of course, they didn't know anything about Black Cowboy or Black Cowboy history. So we were able to go out and talk to them a few weeks ago. We talked to corporations, schools, libraries, communities, churches, you know, whatever. And then this summer, we're going to have a camp. We're going to have a camp for 7th and 8th graders, because you learn Texas history in the 7th grade and you learn American history in the 8th grade. And then hopefully on Friday, you know, they'll take that item home with them, or maybe we'll sell it online, because you know, there's a lot of things you can sell online now. You can sell music and videos and books and things and artwork and photographs. And so kids will learn about their history, but they'll also learn some creative and critical thinking skills and some video and editing and other kinds of skills with our mentors. And so, and then we're obviously Clio Scholarship. We're going to keep that funded and go forward. And we're going to give two scholarships away in the fall to kids, high school kids that, you know, want to go on with their life, either as a rodeo cowboy or, you know, get a degree in some, and it doesn't have to be an agricultural degree. You know, it can be a business degree, or it can be a communication degree or social media or whatever, whatever they're interested in.
Well, Liz, you guys are just absolutely awesome, and I can't thank you again for joining us on Better Living, a show about people or organizations having a big impact in North Texas. I'm your host, Chris Arnold. So long, everybody.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.